Washington. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan here in Houston.
And you've been listening to Democracy Now! On your community radio station. This is KGNU Boulder, 88.5 FM, and KGNU Denver, 1390 AM, with translator K206DB in Fort Collins, Colorado, at 89.1 MHz, and translator K229AC in Ward, Colorado, at 93.7 MHz. It's 59 minutes after the hour of 7. The BBC News will be up shortly, but now this.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by OCO, Oriental Herb Company, makers of Cold Snap, available at health food stores or online at ohco.com.
This week's community calendar is supported by Colorado Women's Agenda, fighting for economic security, social justice, and political power for Colorado women. They can be reached at 303-863-7336. This is the community calendar for Wednesday, March 30th. The Boulder Public Library is presenting Cesar Chavez celebrations with a talk by Emmanuel Martinez this evening at 6 o'clock. Buzzy Jackson will be signing books at the Boulder Bookstore tonight at 7:30. If you would like your event read on the community calendar, send a press release 2 weeks in advance to The Community Calendar, 4700 Walnut Street, Boulder, Colorado, or email comcal@kgnu.org.
And 8 o'clock is the time. In today's weather, the high is expected to be 43 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation, overnight low of about 26 degrees, and tomorrow's high 40 degrees. And a reminder, there will be a panel discussion moderated by Amy Goodman Friday, April 8th at 7 p.m., Call the studio at 303-449-4885 for further information. Now here's the BBC.
With Roy Larmer, a big scientific investigation into the impact of human activity on the environment has concluded that the damage is threatening the Earth's ability to sustain future generations. It says human activities have caused irreversible changes that are degrading natural processes that support life on Earth, like the recycling of air, water, and nutrients. The report, which was unveiled today, was drawn up in cooperation with 1,300 researchers from 95 countries. Here's our environment correspondent, Richard Black.
The Millennium Ecosystem Assessment is one of the biggest scientific collaborations ever undertaken. It finds that human activities have caused irreversible changes to the natural world. Intensive farming is turning land barren and depleting water supplies, and these changes are severe enough to threaten the Millennium Development Goals, which include a commitment to halve world hunger by 2015. The report also tries to put an economic cost on environmental degradation. The report is unlikely to produce any quick-fix solutions, but it should provide the best view yet of the problem.
A picture of devastation is emerging from a string of remote Indonesian islands off northwestern Sumatra, where officials say at least 1,000 people were killed in the earthquake on Monday. A BBC correspondent who flew over the main town on the biggest island, Nias, said that she could see people standing on collapsed multi-story buildings picking through the wreckage. There's no electricity and little medical care. The United States candidate to head the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz, has met European Union officials in Brussels to reassure them about his intentions if the bank's board votes to approve him tomorrow, as expected. Mr. Wolfowitz, a right-wing conservative who pushed for the war in Iraq, said that despite some reservations about his reputation, he is fully committed to what he called the World Bank's noble mission of helping people escape poverty.
I understand that that I'm, put it mildly, a controversial figure, but I hope as people get to know me better, they will understand that I really do believe deeply in the mission of the bank. I wouldn't have accepted this nomination if I didn't.
This is BBC News. The Vatican has announced that Pope John Paul is being fed through a tube inserted through his nose in an attempt to speed up his recovery after recent throat surgery. The Pope has had difficulty speaking and eating since the operation, but the Vatican says the feeding tube should help him regain his strength. The announcement came shortly after the Pope appeared briefly at the window of his Vatican apartment to bless the faithful. From Rome, David Willey.
Although all papal audiences have been suspended during the Pope's illness, Pope John Paul made a surprise 5-minute appearance at his study window to greet and bless pilgrims who had gathered in St. Peter's Square in the hope of catching a glimpse of him. The Pope remained for about 5 minutes at the open window on a mild spring day. As on Easter Sunday, he tried to speak a few words, but was unable to do so.
A former security chief of the Russian oil giant Yukos has been sentenced to 20 years in jail for murder and attempted murder. Alexei Pechugin was found guilty of organizing the murder of a married couple and of attempting to kill a former advisor to Yukos. Prosecutors had demanded he be jailed for life. Today's verdict is the first in a number of cases being brought against former staff and executives of Yukos. The ousted leader of Kyrgyzstan, Askar Akayev, has told the BBC he will return to the country once the constitutional order there has been restored. In an interview, Mr. Akayev, who's now in Russia, said only the Kyrgyz parliament could give him guarantees for his safety. Earlier, a senior figure in the new administration told journalists the authorities would give Mr. Akayev all necessary protection if he officially resigned. Ian McWilliam reports from the Kyrgyz capital, Bishkek.
A senior figure in the new Kyrgyz administration, Felix Kulov, has said that Mr. Akayev's safety would be guaranteed if he returned to the country to resign officially. The deposed president has been in exile near Moscow since he was driven from power last week by massive protests which followed disputed elections. But he said that he doesn't trust the assurances of Mr. Kulov, who spent the past 4 years in prison after being accused of corruption. Mr. Kulov says those charges were politically motivated. The Speaker of the new Kyrgyz Parliament, Omurbek Tekibayev, has said he'd like to meet Mr. Akayev, but only to discuss his resignation.
An Israeli specialist team has been sent to Ethiopia to investigate the shooting of the Israeli ambassador there. He was found critically wounded at his home at a hotel in the capital Addis Ababa. The Israeli Foreign Ministry said it appeared the shooting was not a terrorist incident. It said it was trying to arrange for the envoy, Doron Grossman, to be flown back to Israel as soon as possible. Mr. Grossman, who's 48, had served in the post since 2002. BBC News.
That's BBC News on KGNU, beginning the morning magazine for this Wednesday, March 30th. It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up after the local headlines, in our report from the state capitol, David Wilson updates us on a project on the progress of the Tabor reform proposal moving through the legislature, and an update on recreational water rights. We'll hear a guest commentary this half hour and local herbalist Brigitte Mars with her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. This morning, Brigitte talking about herbicides and pesticides. BBC again at 8:30, Jim Hightower with his daily commentary for us right after that. And at 8:35, Wednesday mornings, we're live from the Penny Lane Coffee House. This morning, live at Penny Lane, features Dr. John Rifkin. He'll be discussing his new book, The Healing Power of Anger. Local psychotherapist John Rifkin on The Healing Power of Anger. That's live from Penny Lane at 8:35. At 9 o'clock, radio documentaries from Soundprint. And Diverse Music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. Thanks for choosing listener-supported community radio today. State and local news now, and for that, here's Roger Wendell.
College Republicans say students on the University of Colorado campus should be able to pack heat because a whistle won't deter rapists. A GOP student group held a Second Amendment rally on campus Tuesday, passing out pamphlets about gun rights. According to the Daily Camera, the group posted pictures of a handgun with the slogan, "This is my rape whistle." Isaiah Lekowit, president of the student GOP group, said the rape whistles handed out to students during freshman orientation won't scare away potential attackers. Dudley Brown, executive director of Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, fielded questions at the rally and said college campuses are dangerous places and guns can prevent rape and other violent crime. Regulations state it is illegal for people to bring firearms, explosives, or other weapons onto the CU campus. Andrew Harrison of the College Democrats challenged the Republicans' gun message, saying, in part, the Republicans didn't seem to be promoting safe gun ownership. Harrison also said, like it or not, guns kill people. Family members of a man shot by Denver police last summer met Tuesday with city officials and said they have been kept in the dark about ongoing investigations. Frank Lobato was shot while lying in bed at home holding a soda can that was probably mistaken for a weapon. His family met yesterday with district attorney and the safety manager of Denver, according to the Denver Post. The family and their attorney, Kenneth Padilla, are calling for the officer who killed Lobato to be fired and face criminal charges. A grand jury investigation of the shooting was completed in December without issuing any indictments. Police Chief Jerry Whitman, has recommended the officer be suspended for 30 days without pay for shooting Lobato. Last week, the safety manager set the disciplinary case against Officer Ron John Ford back to the chief with instructions for further investigation. The family's lawyer says he wants Ford's superiors to be investigated further, saying they should also be held accountable. Lobato's family say they have been unable to get information about the case and have met with the U.S. Attorney's Office to discuss an investigation into potential violations of Lobato's civil rights. Earlier accounts of reported child abuse were misleading. For that story, here's Chris Hall.
The number of sexual assaults on children in Boulder County last year did not make as dramatic of a jump as initial statistics reported earlier this week suggested. Director of Boulder County Social Services, Paula McKee, told the Daily Camera there was a 37% increase in child sexual abuse reports when it was actually an increase in sexual abuse referrals. Referrals are defined as any phone call that social services receives regarding child protection. This could include reports of suggested abuse, questions regarding abuse or neglect, or people asking for community resources that they are concerned about the well-being of a child. All of those calls pooled together came to 520 referrals, but only 53 cases of those were substantiated by child sexual assault cases as sexual assault cases, a 4% increase from 51 in 2003. Reporting for KGNU, I'm Chris Hall.
The ACLU says Denver's FBI involvement oversteps its bounds. With more, here's Allison Looney.
The American Civil Liberties Union says that two Denver police officers should pull out of the FBI's counterterrorism task force because city officials can't ensure the protection of residents' civil rights. City law prevents Denver police from collecting certain intelligence information, but federal guidelines are much less restrictive. The Denver Post reports that Denver Police Chief Jerry Whitman says that all officers are bound by city rules. But due to FBI regulations, there is no way to verify that the officers are complying. Details of an investigation cannot be disclosed to anyone without proper security clearance. Mark Silverstein, legal director of Colorado's ACLU, says that two officers are not accountable to anyone in Denver, and if a complaint was filed, they could not be fully investigated. Chief Whitman has agreed that his officers will operate under the rules of the Denver Police Department. The Denver City Council is going to look into the issue as other communities around the country work to adopt tougher laws to limit city officers in federal involvement. For KGNU, I'm Allison Looney.
On Tuesday, administrators at Colorado State University at Pueblo issued a warning letter to anthropology professor Dan Forsyth for subjecting his class to profanity-laden tirades on immigration. According to the Rocky Mountain News, Professor Forsyth was also ordered to take a professional course on classroom control. The warning letter is in response to a March 3rd incident where a student alleged Professor Forsyth created a racially hostile environment by describing Mexicans as lazy people and that illegal immigrants shouldn't be picking crops. Investigators determined that although Professor Forsyth used a profanity, there was no evidence to support charges that he used a racial epithet. Professor Forsyth's lawyer said his client was pleased that he was cleared of the most serious charges and that those charges that remain are subjective and lacking in merit. Freshman Victoria Watson, who filed the complaint, said she is disgusted with the outcome of the investigation. Watson says she is so upset with school officials that she plans to transfer to CSU in Fort Collins. This is not even close to being over, she said. In today's weather, the high is expected to be about 45 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation. Overnight low of about 25 degrees with tomorrow's high at about 40 degrees with a 50% chance of precipitation. For KGNU, I'm Roger Wendell. We'll be right back.
813 at listener-supported KGNU.
How did George W. Bush increase his popular vote by 3 million? Local and national experts discuss the rise of the right with a special look at the use of anti-immigrant and anti-gay bigotry. Moderated by Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, featuring Chip Berlay, co-author of Right-Wing Populism in America, Too Close for Comfort, editor of Eyes Right, challenging the right-wing backlash. Donna Redwing, 2004 Democratic candidate for Colorado House District 25, former policy director at the Gill Foundation, and national field director for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And Lisa Duran, Executive Director, Rights for All People, Denver's Immigrants' Rights Organizing Project. This panel takes place Friday, April 8th, 7 p.m. sharp, at the Central Presbyterian Church, 1660 Sherman Street in Denver. Purchase tickets in advance by calling 303-449-4885. $10 in advance, $15 at the door. A sold-out crowd is expected, so book early at 303-449-4885.
You can call us after 9 o'clock at 449-4885 and get your tickets to the panel discussion on How Bush Won, moderated by Amy Goodman. It's a week from Friday. That's April 8th in Denver. 815 at listener-supported KGNU. On Tuesday at the state capitol, a bill that would have restricted future water rights for recreation was killed on the House floor. And a bill designed to help dig the state out of the recent recession is heading to a conference committee to work out differences between the House and the Senate. From the Capitol, David Wilson reports.
Senate Bill 62 would have limited the amount of water a